Welcome to The Connected Life. The Connected Life with hosts Travis and Carrie Fry is all about helping you live a more connected life. They want you more connected to God, self, spouse, family, community, and to the world at large. It is their belief that the more connected you are, the holier and healthier you will be. So stay tuned to The Connected Life with your hosts Travis and Carrie Fry as they explore all facets of what it means to live the connected life.
Welcome to The Connected Life, a ministry of Crossroads Counseling on Family Values Radio, 1010 KXXT. I'm your host, Christian Counselor Travis Fry, joined by my wife and co-host, Carrie Fry.
We are a husband and wife team that together combine our training in both psychology and theology and a real-life experience to bring you The Connected Life.
The Connected Life is all about intimately connecting with and loving both God and others. So we're back with our friends, Dan and Janet, and if you listened last week, then you heard them share their story of how they came to meet one another, how God used their unique individual experiences to really bind them together as one in their marriage, and it was a powerful story. We've invited them back to talk more about that and also talk about manhood and all things related to marriage, manhood, and womanhood, and good stuff. So, Janet, why don't you take a few moments and introduce yourself?
Okay, hi, I am Janet, and I am a mom to one lovely little girl, Adele, who I homeschool. I am the neighbor to Carrie, she's my best friend, so we go through a lot of adventures together. I am married to my amazing husband, Daniel, who, you know, we're coming up on 10 years this December. And then I'm also the executive assistant for Crossroads Counseling. So I get to answer the phones and schedule and, you know, help and direct people for Travis. So, and the other.
Yeah, you are the voice on the other end of the phone. It's awesome.
Yes.
So how about you, Dan? You want to give us a little of your background?
Yeah, of course. I'm great friends with Travis and Carrie, and married to my lovely wife Janet over here for the last 10 years, which has gone by in a blink of an eye. You know, growing up right out of high school, I joined the military, went into the Army, did the high school to flight school. So 18 years old, I graduated high school. A couple days later, I was sent to Fort Rucker learning how to fly helicopters. Spent about 7 years doing that, get to travel all over. I'm doing some missions for the military. I flew Blackhawks and Hueys. And at the tail end of my career for that, I was deciding whether I was going to stay in or get out, and that's when I met my wife. Because yeah. I met her, I decided to get out. Once I got out, I joined the local police department here. Law enforcement, became a police officer.
Been Scottsdale, right?
Scottsdale, yeah. Mm-hmm. Coming up on about 10 years now. Worked the road. As a patrol officer, then I got involved with teaching, training our new officers up and coming. I joined the SWAT team. I've been doing that. SWAT sniper. Now I train. I'm the firearms instructor, lead firearms instructor for the department. So they found it advantageous to move me from the road to start training our men and women on the department and how to be wise in their decision making and being able to defend the public and take care of people out there. So that's what I do.
Yeah, I also want to add that you have trained me in firearms, and yes. I very much appreciate that.
Yes, we do have some
along
good
with
times.
A couple of our neighbors, yes. And a few family
yeah,
members.
Absolutely.
So
well-armed
absolutely.
Neighborhood.
Yes. Your influence has gone deep. So it's good. So so we're talking about kind of manhood and, you know, this idea of what it means to be a man of God, really. That's kind of the heart of this message and what I really want to get to, Dan. So one of the things that I just wanted to point out just really briefly is that, you know, we all went to a homeschool conference this, you know, last week or a few weeks ago or whatever it was. And in one of those talks that I heard, I was reminded of this truth, and that, you know, when God went to Solomon, he asked Solomon, hey, what do you want? You know, you're king, you're leading the nation of Israel. What is it that you want? Anything that you're asked for, you know, I'm here to give it to you. And so what Solomon asked for was wisdom. And I'm just thinking, wow, that is something that I need. I think all of us need as husbands, as fathers, as men, as, you know, as we lead our families, is we really need wisdom. It's the beginning of the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of knowledge. And so that point right there is something that's really important. We also talked about, or another point that I just wanted to point out really quick is what it takes to, and in terms of being a good husband, a good father, is that you really need to take care of your family. You need to be a good provider. And this is not just on the practical level, but it encompasses like the physical and the emotional. And there's a verse in 1 Timothy that I looked up, and it says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And again, so this idea of asking for that wisdom as we lead our families, being a good provider. And then this third point, Dan, which I really am excited to hear what you had to talk and say about this, is this idea of being strong and being a protector of your family. This is not simply on a physical level. I think it's also on a spiritual level, because we know that our battle is not just against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual world, the principalities. So maybe we can talk about that in terms of, you know, especially as a police officer, and everyone else here can chime in terms mm-hmm. of this idea of being a man and having that strength and being a protector.
You know, I think the biggest thing for most men, all men, is that we want to be the superhero, the know-all, the do-all, nothing can faze me. And, you know, it's how do we get to do that? How do we become, you know, men and women of God? And you know, it takes a lot of hard work. You know, we always see the athlete or the good shooter or the good runner or the, you know, the doctor, and we think, man, how do we get there? You know, how do we strive? You know, it just doesn't happen overnight. You know, everybody wants to be the like I said, the Jedi Knight, but going back to Star Wars there.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you look and you watch, I mean, just something that silly, you watch the story of Star Wars, you know, the Jedi, you know, you look how much dedication and how hard they have to work, you know. And I equate that to, like, Christianity, you know. I mean, in order to be a leader, I have to be able to be humble to God. I have to constantly seek Him and to constantly spend time in the Word. I mean, it's hard. You know, I'll take time to read the Drudge Report. I'll take time to make sure I get my workout in. I'll take time to make sure I go shooting. But if I get 5 minutes, maybe I'll read the Bible and spend time with God and spend time truly praying. But I think that's where, you know, as men, it's hard to say, you know what? No, that's got to come first. Mm. I've got to make time for God, just as because it is just important to get fed through His Word and through, you know, training my mind and my spirit to lead my family. Where am I going to actually seek counsel? And it's got to come from God.
Right.
And so you've got to make that a priority, as I would exercising, shooting, eating, and reading something as simple as a Drudge Report.
The word that comes to my mind is the word discipline, and I don't mean that in a negative connotation. I think a lot of people hear that word and they think, well, I'm being disciplined, but discipline in the sense of these are the things that I do, right, and I'm committed to them. And
right.
Like the athlete that you're talking
exactly.
about, and Paul actually talks about that in Scripture, right? Like
right.
I'm disciplining, I'm training my body.
Exactly, yeah. And Paul, because, you know, he was over there and you know, with Western society, you know, that's how he equated speaking to the church, you know, leave it all on the table, you know, taking that extra time to always focus on the goal, with the goal in is to spend time with the Word and spend time with God. And in doing so, you know, then I'm able to lead my family. You know, until I do that, I'm just, it'll be the blind leading the blind, because God is, as men, has bestowed such a heavy, not burden, but responsibility mm-hmm. to lead our family. Because if we don't do it, you know, when I present the Lord to my family, or present the Lord to my family, and I can't, that's the one most important thing, you know. I always tell guys and families I hear, well, I got to make sure I have a college fund for my kids. I got to make sure I pay for this or pay for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all those are important. I get it. make sure my kid gets a scholarship and athletics. But really, what is the most important thing is to make sure my kid and my wife and myself, we know God. Because, you know, like I think it was Ben Franklin said, you know, what are death and taxes, you know? Yeah. So that is the most fundamental thing to ensure my family knows who God is. So when that moment comes and I am prepared for that most critical moment, I'm ready to meet God and present my family.
Yeah, I love that. I've been overwhelmed by the way that our culture is so counter to a lot of biblical teaching, and we really do have to be on guard and fighting against what our culture is saying, because so much of what the world and TV and media tells us is contrary to that. You know what you're saying. It's contrary to the priorities in life are supposed to be looking great, making money, being successful, and there's really no emphasis on that character building that mm-hmm. that Christ and showing how to be good, how to be men and women of God. We really kind of have lost sight of what a man of God is and what a woman of God is, and it's really blurred.
Yeah.
Blurred these days. Like I think that our young people are confused.
Yeah.
Really confused.
There's more the appearance of it, where if I can post on Facebook and make the appearance of us having it together and being strong, mm-hmm. as opposed to having the deep virtue of it, where it's ingrained and worked on so hard and deeply that you don't have to share it.
Right.
It's something that's hard work and intentional inside your home, where mm-hmm. the appearance of it doesn't matter. You know, that's not the focus. It's not right. The focus of, do we appear strong? Do mm-hmm. we appear like we have it together? Do we appear? Where it's more, are we strong? Are we together? Are we unified? Are we communicating? Are
right.
we praying?
Right.
Yeah. You know, when I look at if I look at the importance of staying in the Word and waiting for that moment, you know, I always look at guys with, and I just equate it back to, because I train a lot of firearms, I train the department, and guys and gals, they shoot and they train, they want to come out once or twice, and they think they're ready for the moment, and that moment may happen once in a lifetime, but if you're not prepared for that moment, you'll never rise to, and I hate to equate God to this, but you'll never rise to the moment. Mm. You only fall to your lowest level of training. And you see that with God, training with God. That's how I look at it, just like Paul equates it.
Yeah.
I will never rise to the moment when I'm thrust into maybe financial difficulty, marriage difficulties. I will only fall to my lowest level of training, which is if I don't know the Word and I don't know God, I'm not going to get the answer right.
Right, right.
So
you see that in marriages where you're in a marriage and it's, you can feel like you're doing really well. Everybody's happy. Everything's great. But if a stress comes in, things fall apart because you haven't built that really great foundation. And I think that happens with parents and children too, the relationship, that like really working on the relationship and working on the relationship with God and your family is huge.
Yeah, being proactive,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Being rooted in discipline and doing the things, even in the non-crisis times, kind of what I'm hearing you say, Dan, the non-crisis times, right? You're developing these habits, and you're doing the things that it takes to, or it takes when that crisis hits, that you are ready.
Exactly.
Right? You're ready to stand firm. So
absolutely.
You know, so we're talking about this idea of what it means to be a man, and definitely there's a sense of being a good provider. There's a sense of being a protector, being strong. You know, this is on that spiritual level that I think we're talking about now. It's also on this practical level in the event that, you know, God forbid, there was someone actually physically threatening our family, you know, being prepared to handle and deal with that. If I can maybe turn the corner a little bit and talk about kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. So we have this idea of like strength and being really strong and tough and being the warrior, so to speak. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have this idea of, if we're going to be a warrior, going to be a poet as well, right?
Right.
And so this idea of being able to bring in that sensitivity and that softness, and also be able to connect with your family on that level too. Maybe you can speak to that, Dan.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think the older I get, you know, and I think it just comes with age and maturity. You know, I remember I would hear something or watch a commercial or, and it would just bounce right off me, and I just wouldn't get it. But now that I get older, you know, and especially growing with God and Christ and my wife, and it's our family unit, you know, little things like I know there's this little new Duracell commercial that came out, and, you know, it was about a soldier who was away from home, and he's talking to his little girl, and she gets this little teddy bear, and oh my gosh, good thing I was by myself, I just lost it. I mean, the tears just started flowing. And I think as men, we're afraid to say, you know, it's okay to be touched.
Yeah.
It's okay to feel, mm-hmm. you know, love. It's okay to feel those emotions and to express those emotions and to, you know, tell, you know, my wife, yeah, you know, I went and did this cool SWAT call out and I was running around my gear and, you know, it all worked out and I saw this crazy stuff and yeah, it was awesome. We were high-fiving each other, but I to come home to my loving wife and to hold my daughter, I mean, that's what's important. You know, you can be strong on the outside, but without the love of Christ and the love of my wife, you know, being there to basically I debrief her every day when something happens, mm-hmm. you know, her strength gets me through. Her tenderness is why I'm able to do the things I do, whether it be those type of situations or simply just, you know, standing for our beliefs as a family, standing for what we think, what God has pointed us in which direction. The tenderness is really what makes you human and connects us to God and our family.
Yeah.
We cannot forget.
I'm really lucky that Daniel does come home from work and he sees a lot of stuff and he'll come home and tell me about it. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly, and you know, I joke that it's my CSI hour. He'll come home and it's my TV show. But in reality, you know, I married a man that is so strong, but I think one of the things that blew me away about Daniel is he does soften himself to hear. And so if we have struggles, if we have things that we're going through, he's not so strong as to block me out or mm-hmm. my appeals or my pleads. Like, it's amazing to see him where he will listen and soften and will change his mind because of something that I've said. And yet he's such a strong man. I mean, it blows me away the things that he has done in his life, the determination, the dedication, that he, all of the sacrifice that he's made to be so great in his line of work, and then to come around and come home and be soft and gentle to play with Adele and to have time with us. So
I would go so far to say that I think it takes strength in order to do that. It's a different kind of strength, mm-hmm. but it's that emotional strength that it'll allow you to go from those extremes and, mm-hmm. and not get stuck in one spot all the time.
It takes courage to be vulnerable.
Yeah. Yes, yes,
right?
Yes.
Like Dan talked about the courage that he had to kind of work up to go and talk to Janet for the very first time and ask her out, right? I mean, you're putting yourself out there, right? And you're opening up your heart mm-hmm. to someone that you care deeply about. And so it does take courage and strength to actually be open and vulnerable and say, hey, this is where I'm really struggling right now.
Right.
Well, yeah. Can I add one more thing, too?
Please,
being
yeah.
strength. You know, like me and Travis, we have a lot of conversations, you know? I mean, there's things that we talk about as guys and as friends that I think guys sometimes are embarrassed, and we get isolated in our own little world.
Right.
And, you know, to sit down and have these conversations and say, hey, you know what? This has been bothering me. This is what I think about, you know, X, Y, Z, what's going on here in my life. You know, like Travis was saying, to be vulnerable, mm-hmm. to be able to open up. And we start talking, then we realize, hey, he's struggling maybe with the same thing.
Right. I mean,
he's experienced it. So now we're like, oh, I'm not this isolated on this little island all by myself.
Right.
And, you know, we, like I said, we want to hide everything, but being able to have those communications with good, solid friends like Travis here, it makes me feel and understood and stronger after our conversations.
There's a greater depth to your relationship.
Absolutely.
You know, when we talk and go deep, you know, and don't get scared of those subjects or being vulnerable, there's a greater depth in how we connect. Just like, I think girls, it's a little bit more natural to mm-hmm. hit deeper topics when we're having coffee and enjoying each other's company. But I think Daniel, you know, I just see the value that he's found in some of his close friends to find depth and where you know you can rely on that person because you guys have, you know, found a great connection.
Yeah.
And it's not just something that happens because you just shared space.
Right.
It's, you know, it's going further and talking deeper.
It's being intentional in building mm-hmm. that kind of community. And that's, you know, what the Connected Life is about, you know, mm-hmm. building each other up through being able to connect. And when we were at the homeschool convention, and it's a very common analogy, but just that idea that the three cords are yeah. harder to break. When you're wound together with other people, it's going to be so much harder for Satan to get at you.
Yeah.
You're so much stronger when you're in a community and when you're really wound. And it's not the parallel life thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just going side by side. It's
separate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. separate, but you're close to one another. You're living in the same house. Like if you're a couple yeah. or you're just, you know, see once in a while and you don't ever connect, but it's when you're wound together.
Yeah.
And I think that does give a lot of strength.
Dan and Janet, we have a few minutes left. Maybe if you guys could just talk a little bit about, you know, being a police officer and ex-military Dan, how the two of you as a couple kind of deal with those hard days that inevitably happen, and then maybe any encouragement that you would have for other officers or military or first responders who may be listening to our show right now in terms of their marriage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, every time I talk to a lot of guys, and for some reason they want to, you know, come and talk to me, obviously. I think the hardest thing is for them to talk to their wives, to talk to their spouses, to let them know, you know, maybe my wife doesn't want to hear it, you know, what I do, what I've seen. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you're married to this type of job, and you need to be able to debrief somebody. It's huge. It's huge therapy in and of itself. I tell Janet everything. In fact, I tell her so much that I forget. I'll be like, she'll be like, hey, remember this story, this happened? And I'm like, no, I don't, because I've told her. And I think a lot of it, when you start looking back to and you look at the struggles we have today, because as guys, we're no tip-top shape. You know, I know when I've dealt with stuff and our boys are coming back from, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq, one minute they're in Afghanistan, Iraq, the next they're over here back stateside within, you know, a plane ride. They ask them a quick question, how you feeling? Well, we're guys, oh, tip-top shape. But inside, we're struggling, and we don't talk about it. Or in World War II, after the war, they're coming across the pond, and they had time to talk to each other and debrief and to get that out. So when they got out, they've already, you know, had that counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And with Janet and my wife is the same thing. Every moment I get, I talk to her and let her know, this is what I'm feeling. Is it valid? Because that's what I need to be validated.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she has just, you know, encouraged and yes, and good. And, you know, there's been times where she's helped me, you know, so... I tell guys, you need to be able to talk to your spouse.
Right.
You have to, because if I don't talk to her, I will talk to somebody who will listen, and it may not be her. So.
Now that's the scary thing is, you know, I mean, you've got a lot of officers that confide in each other, but at the end of the day, who do you want sitting on the porch with you, you know, when you're 80 years old? Do you, you know, that man or person that you're talking to at the job is great and there for the moment, but, you know, Daniel comes to me for the longevity of our relationship.
Right.
And I have to make myself available mm-hmm. and attentive so that he feels that validation, where he feels the comfort if he needs it, where he feels, you know, if I need to be the cheerleader for him today, I'm going to be his cheerleader, you know, and if I'm just going to be the sounding board, I'll be that sounding board. But it's great for me and him and our relationship to think, okay, well, this is what's going to set us up for that future that we want together. Those, you know, sitting on the porch swing at 80 years old, still laughing about things that he forgets that I remember and I wasn't even there.
Right.
So
what would you say to a couple who may be listening, Janet, in your situation or a similar situation? How would you want to encourage them?
Well, I mean, I think just saying again, you know, for the wife, finding ways to be available, and for the husband, you know, don't be scared. Your wife is strong. You married a strong woman, and to have confidence in your wife and the strength that God gave her, you know, God put her in your life for that reason and for the job that you have. So, you know, having that confidence is huge. Daniel has a lot of confidence in me, even when I don't have it in myself. And I think that helps carry me that much further for him.
Wonderful. Thank you guys once again for being with us.
Thanks for joining
us.
Thank you.
Just real quick, September, marriage retreat. 50% off if you sign up by August 1st. Give us a call at 623-680-3486. And remember, get connected and stay connected.